This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Speaking in studio with us today is Courtney Dallaire, and she's pursuing a master's within the NRES, or Natural Resources Environmental Studies branch here at UMBC, or the University of Northern British Columbia. And within that, she's looking at the ORTM, right?
Outdoor Recreation, Conservation, and Tourism branch.
Thank you.
But they don't put the, there's no C, it's ORTM, but the conservation's in there.
Right. And the conservation angle is what you're approaching with your project.
Yeah.
Which you've just secured funding for.
Yes.
$26,000 over...
It's over the next year, which is good because I plan to finish up in the next year.
Excellent. And you're looking at unconventional gardening.
Yes.
As opposed to conventional gardening.
Yes.
As a path towards community-based conservation action. All right. Peeling into this layer, you're looking at interior of Northern BC.
Yep.
Can you explain to us a little bit about the separation that you've put in your studies between conventional and unconventional gardening, just to lay that out for our audience?
Sure, yeah. When I say unconventional gardening, I don't necessarily mean like gardening that's really out there or kind of crazy gardening methods.
Not anti-gravity stuff.
Yeah, no, nothing crazy. I was thinking more of going against the conventional gardening practices, which is the use of herbicides and pesticides and kind of decorative mulches and ornamental plants and that sort of thing. So unconventional gardening, you could say it's more like organic gardening or environmentally friendly gardening.
And typically, I'm going to guess, with the intent to grow food for oneself or for others?
Sometimes, but I'm also hoping to look at gardeners that maybe just do flowers, and maybe they're just doing native flowers, or maybe they're focusing on maybe non-native plants, but hoping to increase pollinators in their area. I didn't want to limit the amount of gardeners that I had, and so I'm kind of looking at that more broadly.
You're still kind of figuring out who you can realistically talk to
to get
the data set for your research.
Yeah.
And the overall objective of your research. This is important. Can you tell us a little bit about
that? Yeah. So the overall objective of my research is I'm looking at how gardening can be used to give people steps towards living more sustainably. I think there's a lot of talk about different things that people can do to live sustainably. And a lot of those asks are way out of the scale of what people can realistically do. And I think gardening is kind of a seamless way to get people to live more sustainably if they can do that in those unconventional ways. I mean, there's literature that shows that people who garden, this sounds very simple, but people who garden, they care more about their environment because they're so involved with kind of seeing it at every stage. And I think that is really important of getting that reconnection with land, especially in cities. And, you know, Prince George is kind of different from most cities. It's very treed, and you want that reconnection to land because it's getting lost in a lot of ways.
And I'm going to guess that gardening is one of the ways in which people can experientially feel what it's like to actually either grow food or grow plants or have a connection to the environment, to nature. And you could do this on a large scale, on a small scale.
Definitely.
And it can be done in almost any place, given the right equipment or a few resources. It doesn't have to be an elaborate garden. Can be. You have that option.
Yes.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be. This is something that is relatively accessible for people to do.
Yeah.
Is there a limitation on the scale of gardening you're looking at? Is there a certain amount of acres that things shut off at? Or how do you rein in your parameters here?
Yeah, so the type of gardening that I'm looking at, you know, the size of the garden isn't so much what matters. I'm thinking for people that are doing it maybe as a full-time job like a farmer, I'll probably stop there. You know, people that are doing it kind of solely monetarily. I want to look at more people who are doing it kind of regardless of what they're getting out of it or not.
Gotcha. A little more about the parameters that you mentioned earlier. I'm thinking of the line between intensive commercial, say, gardening or agriculture and more conservation-based organic gardening. Where do you see that line? And is that line something your research hopes to better define?
I mean, yeah, one of the hopes of my research is that I can see how this kind of unconventional, environmentally friendly gardening can be supported and promoted. And you know, going up to those big industrial farms, they're necessary right now with the food demands that we have, but also kind of returning that back to the people that have the ability to grow food, and returning that to smaller farms is, I think, a goal that a lot of people are on board with.
You're not really looking at, for example, within the world of, say, permaculture, mm-hmm. how those different practices are conducted and done necessarily. You're more looking at, what is your experience of gardening? How do you feel about it? How mm-hmm. has it influenced your life in these ways?
And I will ask a little bit about their practices just to see, when I'm promoting my research and looking for participants, I'll be looking for participants who kind of self-identify as environmentally conscious gardeners or people who care about the environment. And so when I ask about their practices, it'll be interesting to see what they're doing and how that makes them identify as environmentally conscious. But aside from that, no, I'm not necessarily going to be looking at, you know, their pruning techniques or anything like that.
It's not necessarily clearly defined what unconventional gardening really is or yeah. organic gardening really is. I think everybody has some idea of what that is, but in your research, you may end up asking each individual person about it, and they may have very different ideas about
exactly.
what organic gardening is or what conservation is. Mm-hmm. And these are interesting things to reveal throughout your research.
Yeah, I think so.
Timeline, when you aim to have it all wrapped up, you said about a year, but...
My research is going to be conducted throughout the gardening season, which is, it varies. I'm hoping, you know, mid-May to maybe September.
That's just 2026?
Yes, 2026, summer of 2026. And then, doing my write-up in the fall and winter, and then hopefully done spring 2027.
Holy, you've got a busy summer ahead of you.
Yeah, I do.
Are you hiring help, or is this all you?
This will be all me.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this ties into the bigger picture of food security
yes,
in northern BC.
Definitely.
A touch point.
So, I mean, food security in all of Canada has grown in popularity over the last little bit. But food security in the north is such an important issue, especially, you know, we have food coming in from southern BC. And if those highways are blocked for whatever reason, if there's, you know, a wildfire or a landslide or something, if food can't get up here, it would be nice to have other options to not just rely on things coming from elsewhere. And also, you know, with affordability and accessibility, all of that's really important. And I think growing our own food, or at least increasing that growth, is detrimental to that.
Looking at that dependence that we have in our region on importing
yeah.
food from other places so that we can get enough calories in a day.
Yeah.
Is that what inspired you to pursue this?
Partially, yeah. And I'm looking at, you know, the non-food gardening as well, because there's also that conservation side of things. But food is kind of like something that I'm just especially interested in, and food security. And I think it's also kind of one of those unifying forces of everybody needs to eat. And I think it's a fairly undisputed claim that people want access to healthy food.
In terms of conservation then, what about gardening has drawn you towards that area of interest and expertise?
Yeah, so I've been a gardener my whole life. I worked as a gardener as well, and I've seen kind of both sides of gardening, where you have those very conventional kind of doing it to increase property value gardens, where it's kind of creating like a desolate, barren landscape where maybe it looks very clean and put together, but like nothing can live there unless you're tending to it so meticulously. And on the other side of that, a majority of the green space that's available in urban areas are private yards. And I think that majority of green space, if all of that was used, not necessarily used as a conservation site, but used in a way that allowed for things to thrive, I think that could be a really good option for kind of resolving some of those bad effects that we've had on the landscape with development and that sort of stuff.
The research has yet to be conducted.
Yep.
And I don't want to pollute your end results by, you know, forcing you to take a position on something yet. But mm-hmm. we're looking at independence of individuals to have their own garden, mm-hmm. Whether it be for food production or an aesthetic. To what extent do you feel that it enables people to have a little more agency day to day, not mm-hmm. be so dependent on a more corporate method of, say, getting food mm-hmm. or just satisfying the desire to have a pleasant aesthetic
yeah.
in your day to day life?
That's definitely important, I think. Like feeling like you have the option to choose what you want to choose is important. I think that kind of goes back to the too big of asks with sustainable living. You know, if I crack down on the gardeners and I say, you all have to do this and you have to garden in this way and you can only garden for conservation, they're not going to do that. And I think there's a lot of sustainable living asks that do that and tell people to do these things. And so I think if you give a choice and you offer support and you can find ways to support people to make those choices, I think those choices will come about.
So your research is coming from the angle of qualitative, not quantitative. You're not as concerned with the metrics and the numbers as you are of the experience itself.
Mm-hmm.
Still within that, though, how do you hope to measure what you're looking for?
The first part of my research is that I'm going to be doing interviews with people, semi-structured, so I'll ask them some open-ended questions, and hopefully they can chat at me about their answers. And I just want to hear about their experiences and the way that they feel about the land and the way that they use the land and kind of the relationships that are formed from their practice and what their practice actually looks like and if there's any constraints involved around what they feel they can and cannot do and if those constraints can be maybe not solved, but if there's ways that I could kind of alleviate those constraints, hopefully with the research. And the second part of my research, I'm hoping to give a few of the gardeners at the beginning of the season a reflective journal that they can write about after they've done gardening to see kind of those immediate thoughts after doing it, even just to show, you know, if there's a increase in mood, if people are saying, you know, I was angry when I started and I feel better now that I've done some gardening. I think that sort of stuff is really valuable, especially when I'm looking to find support in promoting this kind of practice.
I don't know to what extent you can speak to this at this point or not, but down the road, are you hoping that the information derived by the research can inform certain policies or certain directions that a bigger decision maker can take? Or what's your idea there?
I think that's the goal for a lot of researchers, is that this research will inform a policy that brings about better change. This is just my personal opinion. It would be nice if, you know, we banned more pesticides and herbicides and harmful things like that. And if there's a bunch of support for that in the community, something like that could be beneficial for better environmental practices, hopefully.
Right. People who are interested in your research,
yes,
and want to get involved, want to find out more, or maybe down the road, once you get your ethics approval and so on, maybe they want to participate, how could they find out more? How could they get in touch?
If anyone's interested in, you know, hearing more about my research, or they just want to chat with me, they can email me at cdallaire@unbc.ca.
Speaking with us today in Seaver Studios is Courtney Dallaire, a master's student here at UMBC. She's recently received SHRC grant funding, which is the SSHRC, or Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada grant, to the tune of $26,000 to pursue her research here at UMBC, or the University of Northern British Columbia, looking into gardening as a path towards community-based conservation action. Courtney is in the outdoor recreation, conservation, and tourism stream of the NRES, or Natural Resources and Environmental Studies program. Best of luck with your research. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or CFUR.ca.